Welcome to The Lowdown, KMXT's new daily show dedicated to giving you the up-to-date information we have available on the COVID-19 outbreak and how it's impacting life on Kodiak Island. The Lowdown will focus on the facts as provided to us by local and state officials. During the show, we give you access to local officials and experts on COVID-19 and community actions related to it. If you have questions for our guests, please email them to lowdown@kmxt.org or call KMXT at 486-3181. You can find a list of upcoming guests on our Facebook page or on our website, kmxt.org. Audio from each day's program will be posted on the website.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for tuning in this morning for another show focusing on our local business community. Things are starting to open back up again slowly. We're all fully aware of that. And this is not going to be a show about the pros and cons of reopening our economy. The governor issues his mandates. We've got direction from our local ESC about who can open, when they can open, and how they can open. Some businesses are jumping right in. Others are holding back for a little bit. We brought a few of these local business owners in to talk today about their decision-making and deciding when and how to open and the challenges of open and about the horizon in front of them as they are open. So today on the Kodiak Business Lowdown, we've got Raymond from Henry's, Alex from Ardinger, Laura from Creighton Carr Chiropractic, along with Sarah from the Chamber of Commerce, to talk to you about what they're doing. If you would like to participate on behalf of your business in weeks to come, please drop us a line. We'd be happy to try and schedule you on for a future show. Again, call 486-3181 if you have a question you would like to address to one of our guests today, or email your question to lowdown@kmxt.org, and we will see if we can get it answered for you during the course of the show. Wow, thank you all for popping up this morning and agreeing to be on the show and talk about your experiences.
Good morning. Good morning. Great to be here.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Good morning. Are you all excited? Pretty excited. This is a pretty exciting time.
Mike, you know I always love talking to you.
Well, Dr. Creighton has patients at 9:30, so we told her we would try and talk with her a little bit first about what's going on at Creighton Chiropractic and what's been happening there since the shutdown and what's happening there now.
So we actually closed, I think, a day or two before the shutdown, just in response to the news we were hearing, and just wanted to back up and see how that was developing. And we've seen, we've been in over the last 6 weeks, to see urgent cases. People left messages if they wanted to get in. We weren't ever technically shut down. The state didn't mandate that we were shut down. We were deemed essential. But I was erring on the side of caution with that. I was thinking essential was
doctors. You know,
a broken femur. Yeah. So, you know, not discomfort. I work at the kind of discomfort level. And, but we've been back for half days for about 2 weeks. And today's actually the longest day we've had. We're here all day today, but we're only seeing one person at a time in the office. So it's like every half hour.
Well, you're in a business where you have to have close contact with people all the time. I mean, what kind of special precautions do you have to take?
We're screening for, travel and symptoms and contact before you even make an appointment. And we're having people call from the curb so that we're controlling the door. So we only have one person at a time. We're having people wear masks and wash their hands at the door. Only bring in your keys, pretty much, like not have a whole bunch of stuff all over. I'm wearing a mask. I'm wearing gloves. I've got a jacket on. Hand washing before and after everybody, and cleaning all the contact points between each person, each patient.
So normally in your business, there isn't a whole lot of traffic flow through there. I mean, it's set up in a way that you have what two or three different adjustment beds, and they're spaced out enough. And what, you have two or three employees in there beside yourself?
Just one now. I have Hannah at the front desk, and the rooms are separated, and we may be able to pick up a little bit, but right now what we're comfortable with is, you know, concentrating on the one person that's in here and making sure we're not missing what they're touching, basically.
Well, that kind of makes it easy, doesn't it? I mean, if you limit the traffic through the door to one person and you're meeting people at the door, it's pretty much, you probably cut the amount of people you see in half, right, at any given time.
That's true, yeah. And in thirds.
In thirds. Yeah. How about the sanitation requirements on you? Is it onerous, or is it it's something that you don't normally do, is it?
We run a clean operation, but not a sterile operation always, right?
Yeah.
So it is increased. But with controlling where people are going, it's manageable. It is manageable. I have, you know, the entryway and the desk and the treatment room. And so that's fairly manageable.
Okay. Now, what kind of what kind of business loss have you seen since the shutdown? I mean, yeah, you've had nobody.
100% for 5 weeks, or, you know, pretty much just cut off. Yeah.
So have you been able to tap any of the resources available to you as a small business person?
It's unclear. I've applied, but I believe that my applications, that they were then, they changed the process. So I'm having to follow up on that.
So you're still in a queue somewhere waiting to see whether or not the money is going to get distributed.
Yeah, exactly.
And your employees, how were they able to make it through the shutdown?
We've been doing some paperwork, you know, keeping the business running. So I'm able to keep my one employee about half time, and that's worked so far.
So now that you've gradually started to reopen again, has business popped back up again? Are you seeing people that still don't want to come, or are all your clients back?
Sort of both. There's enough to keep us busy, and it's building, and the word's getting out. I hadn't been advertising real heavily. You know, I'm just available if there's messages that people leave that they want to get in. We'll accommodate them.
Okay.
So I'm not wanting to get like overwhelmed and, you know, like Alex was saying, if there's any sign that there's a resurgence or anything, we'll back off again.
Okay. Now, is there anything in particular that you have to do if somebody is a new client? Is there a different screening protocol you would have to do other than what you do for somebody who you've seen over the years?
Well, we're screening for, you know, quarantining, like, okay, are you new because you're new to town, and how long new to town is that? So we're screening for, you know, the travel and exposure, but there's not really anything. I don't think, you know, we do the initial exam for a new patient is different than a daily treatment, but I don't know that we're screening any differently.
So as far as masking up and sanitation, though, you're providing masks to the client that comes?
Yeah, if they don't have one. Most people have one, but Hannah made a bunch, so we have them at the door.
Great, okay. But for sanitation, to rub the stuff down, what are you using and where did you get it?
I'm using a bleach solution, and I got that at, you know, Wally.
Yeah.
And then I've gotten enough hand sanitizer to feel comfortable for a while.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have anything further to ask of you, unless you want to you continue to sit, we can participate as a kind of a group.
I appreciate you getting me in early, because I do have to go in a bit. I'll stay around for a while, but I'll have to go in a minute.
Okay, well, let's go. Let's go to Alex. Alex, Artinger's is open.
We are open as of this week.
Everything's open.
Well, everything's open in Artinger's. We are still asking, if we get too many people in, we'll probably lock the door and just wait a bit. We're still at a certain percent of occupancy, what I thought was 25%. Everyone's wearing a mask. We haven't had any issues with that. And we have hand sanitizer everywhere. And I think it's still getting out that we're open. I have a lot of people still calling our cell phone. We put our cell phones out there. And when Casey said, give the radio my cell phone, I thought, oh, my Lord, what are you doing? But you know, it was necessary. And I came to work one day and checked the messages. And I called this gentleman back, and, oh, he was so livid, and he thought we were ignoring him. And so I think there was a big misunderstanding what was happening, and it was really important that we could reach everyone and anyone. And so our cell phones have been out for everyone to call, and it's everyone's been super respectful of that. And unlike Dr. Clinton in the salon, which we've had to keep closed, Artinger's has been able to do phone orders, which especially for Easter was really special, that the community all came together and called for baskets. Sorry, guys. And so that was something that we were able to do without contact, and we would set stuff outside or deliver to people's porches, which was pretty awesome.
So you've been able to, you were shut down for a while, and then after 3 weeks or so, you were able to do delivery service or curbside service. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So how many people did you lose? How many employees are involved in your operation?
We haven't lost anyone, actually. We are so thankful to say that we have not missed a paycheck for our employees. And that's including the girls doing hair as well. We applied for the PPP loan right away. And we did get that. And so it's been a huge blessing for our employees to not miss a paycheck. And they've been helping out from home if they can. And, so it's been a learning experience.
So did one part of the business open sooner than other parts?
I guess in the way that we did start taking phone orders, the salon was just able to open, I want to say last week. We saw our first guest, and we were just very cautious and careful about all the procedures that we had them in place for. It was really nice for the girls to be able to get back behind the chair. I know they really miss doing hair, and I know there's a lot of people that have been waiting. I'm thankful that we can get everyone in. I noticed on the East Coast, they're only letting, let's say, the coach come, and they have to have a letter that's not, and those are the only types of hair services they can do. So I'm thankful that we were able to open for everyone who's comfortable to come in and can follow the guidelines that are in place.
So how does somebody now shop? What is shopping, that experience, turned into for you?
It's yesterday I came in. I try to stay away still just because I'm taking care of my parents. But yesterday I came in, and it's hard to see everyone. You can't tell who people are with their masks on. And I didn't think it'd be that. I have not been to the grocery store in 8 weeks. I have not been out in public at all. So I haven't seen any of this. So it was it was a bit surprising yesterday seeing all these people in masks, but the people that are comfortable are coming in and everyone's keeping their distance. We still do have a lot of phone orders coming in because I do think everyone is just trying to be cautious and play it safe, and we appreciate that, and we are here for phone orders. We stayed till 10 o'clock the other night doing Mother's Day gifts. And, we just want to make everyone feel comfortable. And if that means staying late and putting things together, then we're happy to do that.
But do you have an online presence?
We don't have an online store, per se. I've been doing live videos, which is new for me. But I don't know that you ever get used to doing that.
What do you mean? Maybe. You're like, do you do like a Vanna White? You're out with new at Artingers.
baby in one arm and baby in the other.
The
and
baby sells.
I try to go around and just walk people through the shop so they can see what we have for kind of a virtual shopping experience, I guess, from their living rooms, because we don't have everything online. And can you kind of discuss that? Taking this time to put everything online and having it in store. But we thought this is kind of a time that we're never going to get back. And so we chose to not take the time and work as much and just spend it with the kids.
Great. So if somebody wants to come to get their hair done or come and do furniture shopping or shop for Mother's Day gift or something, how do they do it?
Well, you are welcome to walk in and shop freely from 11 to 5:30. We're open Tuesday through Saturday right now. Claire is here most of the time. She is just amazing. We just love her. And then with the salon, it's interesting because it's completely different guidelines. There's not supposed to be anyone in the waiting room, and all appointments have to be pre-booked. We can't do any walk-ins. So the girls are filled up because we have 30 minutes in between each guest to entirely wipe down and clean every surface that may have been touched. They're definitely able to see less people during the day. And so their books are really, they're filling up quickly. On top of that, I'm asking that we don't book too far out because if there is a resurgence, I don't want to have to call and cancel these people's appointments. So it's definitely been a learning curve for them, but they're doing so great with it.
So there is a limitation on the amount of people that can come in the store at any given time though, right?
There is. Apparently that changed this morning. I was just trying to look it up, but I have not found that yet. So we're comfortable with about 5 shoppers in the store at a time, and that is what we're comfortable with, and that does go along with the guidelines. And then for the salon, it can only be one guest per stylist, so it's
it is what it is, I guess.
It is what it is.
And it sounds like you're making inroads into accommodating people who can come in through the door and people who still are maybe looking for something to buy locally but don't necessarily want to venture into a store yet. So that's a big plus.
Yeah, we're really thankful for, we're so thankful for online. I mean, if we didn't have the social media that we have today, I don't know that we would have had any of the sales that we've had these past couple months. So that's been a huge blessing for us.
Okay, Raymond, you probably have gone through the most grueling experience of everybody because of the way things have changed so much for the restaurant and bar world. I mean, first it was a total shutdown, then a limited opening, and now you're into limited capacity. And from what I understand, the capacity is starting to increase a little bit more, but the restrictions on bars and restaurants is way more onerous, I think, than on anybody else. how have you been able to work through this whole thing?
It is, especially when you got a lot of, the bars are all about social interaction, and so is a lot of the dining. But Henry's actually has two sides. We also cater, we cater our bar license. And going into the shutdown, we had five permits in progress, and one of them was Ducks Unlimited, and a lot of those people were coming in from the States. So weeks before we even got the shutdown, we were already on top of that. In the restaurant itself, we had discussed and were starting to seat every other table. And then the shutdown came with absolutely one day notice. For places like us, we had $13,000 worth of groceries on the water that don't hit Kodiak until a week after we're closed. So we're scrambling, trying to do stuff with produce that's going to spoil. And I mean, we use more mushrooms than Safeway does in a week. Some of our stuff, there's just no second outlet for, you know. And we closed with the anticipation that the 2 weeks. But when they closed, we went ahead and scheduled some work. We semi-annually clean our kitchen. We have one of the cleanest kitchens in the state, according to the health inspectors who come by every year, because we totally dismantle it and clean it. We did some maintenance. We put a new carpet in, some new tabletops, and so people with bigger stomachs can fit in our restaurant. but after a few days, we could see that this wasn't going to be working. Our to-go business, which is what they were offering us, normally is only 2% of our business. And even if we were to open with it, and we'd already seen a decrease in business week after week after week for the least 3 weeks prior to the shutdown. And we'd also seen a lot of people hiding out. We only had one phone line, so it'd be hard to do a lot of to-go orders when they didn't want walk-ins and they wouldn't allow more than five people inside the building at a time. So we went and developed an online ordering, and we've been using that. And that's been really, it's something we should have had a long time ago. But if you type into your browser, henrys.mobilebites, that's BYTES.com, you'll come up to our website where you can order your food at Henry's and then just pick it up. We did delivery during this time period because some people are even afraid to leave their house to go out. The delivery thing has been working. But the part when they went to allow us to dine in again, the thing that people didn't like was, quote, having to make reservations. At no point were we were allowed 25% occupancy. At no point have we been at 10% occupancy. You know, so we're sitting with a really empty kind of place. People are slowly coming back in right now. But even with the dine-in business, for the last 2 weeks, because it's been 14 days, it's been about 25% of our total when it used to be 98% of our total. The state allows us to do some new things, but, you know, they regulate it. They allow us to do beer to go and wine to go in our to go orders, but they can only be factory sealed. So like we run 20 taps and our most popular beers, we can't sell. Okay, we can only sell the bottled beer. You know, that might help the brewery and some of the others, but they're trying to work through some things to try to help, but it really doesn't help. And when I have a staff of 37 people and you cut me down to 20 and 10 of them are in the pool and nobody's making any money, it's everywhere. It's been tough. But last night I received the Henry's PPP money.
Great.
And it's a huge amount of money for Henry's. I mean, our payroll is $100,000 a month. So you can see that cutting it down to 20% is a big cut. I mean, some of my people that are on unemployment, if it weren't for Trump coming along with the $600 program, the state unemployment for two of my people for sure, because I've seen theirs, $176 a week. Well, that doesn't go very far. With the $600 they get from the federal government, that's more money than some of them will actually be making. So they'll be staying on unemployment as we're trying to work through getting people back up to speed. I mean, with downtown, with all the shops closed there, that's our lunch business. I mean, the parking lot in front of Henry's out there, I'll have like eight cars in it. you know, so it's been real slow, and it's like they're opening the bars today. And I know that they've changed the rules, and Sarah could probably confirm this, for like the beauty salons, because now they can go up to 50%. But for us right now, it's been the fear of going out and catching something that is keeping people home. I don't think that they're sitting at home with no money, you know, but they are staying home. So whether they're working home, you know, right now, so they don't go out in the daytime, but pretty quiet.
So work me through the economics of what changed your original decision about, you know, going to walk up traffic. I mean, as I understood it at first, you just decided it wasn't worth the while to offer any kind
of control. For us, when we first got started, for two reasons. Like I said, our to-go business was 2%. So we didn't even have enough to-go containers to go ahead and open for a to-go business. We would have run out of to-go containers within a day or two. There was a big run on to-go containers with the wholesalers. So even they were out, just kind of like the toilet paper for the rest of the world. So when all the restaurants in Anchorage, which were shut down first, hit the wholesalers for the to-go containers, there was a temporary shortage. So we were left like, how are we going to sell our food? And at the same time, we don't have a way to do it. Like I said, we had one phone. We brought the office phone down there. But the online order site is really good because you can do it right from your phone or do it from your computer. So we've got that worked out. So now it's not so much a problem, but it's, for me, like I said, I have 37 people, a minimum staff to get in there and be able to cover the menu is like about 7 people. So unless I'm doing some volume, the economics don't work out.
Right.
So there was just a whole lot of trade-off. But right now we're back on track. We're feeling really good about it. Like I said, it's just mostly getting over the fear factor, and as businesses open, like I live in Anchorage, some businesses won't allow you in if you don't have a mask, just like Alaska Airlines is going to require people to wear masks on the plane next week. And I can maybe see that where you're in there sitting around in there. But I mean, when you're going into the pet store and it's 20,000 square feet and they only got 5 people in there, it seems like a bit of an overkill to require it. Now, the state law for the mandate for us says that we need to do it for our business, but the state can't make it a law without legislation, which they didn't do. So they really kind of put the law on the business operator. You know, I mean, somebody could really, but most of the customers have been really good about it. I get a few people in that squawk a little bit, but, you know, I mean, the more from staff, like, how are we going to know if they live together? Because we're not supposed to seat people at a table unless they live together. Well, if you're fishing on a boat together and you're all living on the boat, that's the same thing as living in a house. Doesn't say that in the law, but it says household. So, you know, trying to deal through the nitpicky with people.
It's challenging.
Challenging.
I mean, and you're dealing with two sets of mandates, really, because you've got a combination restaurant and a bar, and there's one set of mandates that applies to you as a restaurant, and then a whole new thing with a different rollout deal as far as the bar.
That and the liquor laws have changed just for this time period where we're allowed to do they sent me the forms to fill out. Okay. They emailed them directly to me. It's not like I went somewhere and got them. I filled them out and I sent them back in and I opened. And then they told me, hey, you didn't do the right paperwork. I go, you sent me this paperwork, but the paperwork was changing so fast. I got another stuff and I can see somebody hadn't even proofread it because I could see that it wasn't right. And I made some changes to their form and I sent it back in. So I got permitted. And so I could go on with the next step. But even the people that are involved, like in, it's not just them. You've got the city has an emergency council group in the city. You got the city council can do rules. You got the state that can do rules. For me, I've got the liquor board that can do rules. And then I've got the food service with the state health department, which already has enough regulations that for us, for all my kitchen sanitation and my bathroom stuff. I mean, all the things that they're asking us to do is stuff we normally do. On a normal day at Henry's before this, I mean, we would have four people come in for the dining area to clean and before we set up to open. So that's like 4 hours a day. So now it's not that much different other than the fact that we have to use hand sanitizers each time the menus are used, whereas before we would only do it at the end of the shift. Some of those things in the condiments and having to pull those off and minor kind of changes. But if you don't have the replacement, then it's a big deal.
Yeah. So there are, as far as spacing goes, as far as like greeting people at the door, you know,
the locker room.
Yeah. I mean, you got this hourly requirement to go in and clean off touch points now. How do you handle that?
Yeah. So right now we don't have that many people in there touching, so it's not that hard of a problem, but we clean in the front door, but I have more people. I have people standing around that could probably do anything else. I mean, cause there's nothing for them to do. I mean, like I said, 3/4 of what we're doing is to go business out the door. I stopped even my trash service from twice a week to once every 2 weeks because my dumpster's still only half full. So really right now I have, that's not a problem. If we had a lot more business, I got a lot more people like to come to work. But right now the volume is nowhere near a slow night in February type thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not a problem.
So the little horseshoe area in Henry's there, is that considered a bar portion, or does the state consider that part of a restaurant?
It doesn't actually have to do with the size or the spacing. It has to do more with your revenue. Like for Henry's, 80% of our revenue is from food, 20% is from alcoholic beverages, and that can include, you know, just a Coke. But We're a restaurant, so we fall into the restaurant with the dispensary license. Some restaurants only have a beer and wine license, but right now it doesn't matter whether it's 25 or 50%. We're not at 25%, but our bar area, when you're sitting outside the restaurant, you need to be over the age of 21. Like if you're under the age of 21, if you're over the age of 16, you can sit in the dining area. And those are the kind of the distinctions between a bar and a restaurant. But the state doesn't make a distinction that this is the bar and this is the restaurant, other than who can sit in that area, that they need to be 21 if they're in that bar horseshoe area you're talking about.
Are you having any supply chain issues? I mean, are you?
Well, right now we're having a supply chain issue with chicken. But that's about the only thing. And I know that a couple of the chicken processing plants have been closed. I know that Trump is working on getting them reopened with sanitation people there. Same kind of questions I ask at Kodiak for the canneries, because I want to see a fishing season. I don't want to see them close them down. And they want their workers to go into quarantine for 2 weeks. But that's the only one I've seen on my side. I mean, the to-go stuff was a problem at the beginning, and so was sanitizers and face masks. But since in the last few weeks, all that stuff has picked up. I don't see any problem with beef. Like a lot of the beef, the steaks and stuff go to restaurants that have been closed. I mean, like no, the grocery stores sell a lot of hamburger. You don't see a lot of tenderloin and ribeye steaks in the Safeway, because people don't buy it there. They buy it when they go out to a restaurant. So, no. Matter of fact, I would think that some things would fall in price, like bacon. 80% of it goes to schools and restaurants. The schools are all closed, and almost all the restaurants are closed. But you don't see the price falling, so I don't know what's up.
Yeah. How about masks and sanitizers?
Got lots.
So,
matter of fact, Sally Troxel, the quilt lady, made some masks, and I brought them in to sell, and I am selling them. If people need to buy a mask, we actually have masks for sale. She sells them for $15. That's what we pay, and that's what we sell them for. So if you want a custom mask, you can stop in at Henry's at the host stand. They're there. till we run out. But yeah, the mask problem and the to-go containers were the big ones. Gone.
So when somebody walks in the door now, are they met in a different way? I mean, are you like eyeballing people as they come in? And
yeah, we had a greeter at the door that would do the sanitize the hands, but you had to have a reservation to come in. So you'd either need to book one if you didn't. But we no longer, the new rules changed today. One, not only can the bar open today, but you no longer need reservations in advance. And the 25% now is 50%. Whereas when we first thought, when this first opened, we thought, well, 25% might be a problem because that's not a lot of people for us at lunchtime, but the people haven't been eating in. Like I said, 25% of the business is eating in, 75% of it's going out the door. It needs to change. And with the shops open downtown, I think it'll have a positive impact.
Now, do any of you have to like keep this visitor log of people who come in so that, you know, if something happened, we could check people out?
We were doing that with reservations. I don't know if we still need to do that now. I got it checked. Do we, Sarah?
Yes.
Okay.
So if we are lifting the 25% capacity up to 50%, most of the businesses where it was reservation based to begin with, the salons still have to do reservations. So it is still not walk in with a log. But anyone that was dealing with reservations to begin with would now have to keep a log. So you can do either or. So people should be aware that if you might be asked to put your contact information, and that's simply for tracing. You know, if a case popped up, they want to know who's been where, in what weeks. It's tough. I know that a lot of people have felt like it's a little bit of an invasion of privacy, but it is to try and keep us safe. It's simply for tracking.
Okay.
So has it been onerous on training? Do you have to do anything special with your employees to get them up to snuff on what they need to do to comply with these mandates?
So I can let either Raymond or Alex answer that. I do know that training is required for all employees coming back to work. And there's some pretty strict information that you need to pass along. They all need to have a copy of your mitigation plan that you've put out. There's a lot of requirements. So I encourage our business owners to kind of go through a checklist. And if they need some help, they can call the chamber or the public information office with the economic, the EOC. The EOC, ESC, we've got that information so that whatever questions they have, they can get the, kind of that checklist and make sure that they're in compliance for their employees. But I have not had to train my employees yet. That happens on Monday for me.
Okay. Raymond, is your pull tab place going to be open too?
I didn't get an answer from them yesterday. I told them because I just found out we could reopen. I could get no notice. So I don't know, but legally they can open. But back to what Sarah was saying, like the state comes out with all these mandates and stuff, like places like us, we do them. I do a lot of the paperwork for getting my permits and stuff. But when the state comes along, they put out these schedules that they call them, I think I'm a Schedule F for restaurants. And then it goes down and gives all the small detail on what they have to do. My managers, Tony and Paige, they go through that as their checklist because they're trained on following paperwork and make sure that we do it. I mean, it changes all the time. Like I said, it changed just Wednesday, and this last Wednesday had been announced in the Kodiak or the Anchorage Daily News that they were going to move one of these meetings, and they didn't move it. They had them, and you don't know what's going on. So, I mean, I go to the Anchorage Daily News to get a lot of my information, but then the state will follow out not at the same time that they make the announcement, within 24 hours, then they usually come out with the hard copy. And then that's what I pass to my people because I don't want them to lose anything in the translation. But they lift tick, tick right off the list. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So our local source of information, I guess, would be the Chamber of Commerce, right?
That's right. Yes, that's exactly what we're here to do. So exactly what Raymond was saying, we're seeing these mandates roll out really quickly where we don't have all the details to comply on the day that in theory our businesses are allowed to open or mm-hmm. these changes are allowed. And even once those mandates have been released, we've actually seen trends of edits to those documents happening without documentation. You know, we don't actually find out when those documents have been revised. And so a lot of it is falling back on our business owners or the chamber trying to get word out that constantly these things are changing. And so just along those lines, since we've been on this, I have posted on the chamber Facebook page and Friends of Kodiak and all over that I can think of that these mandates have updated. We are now in phase two of the governor's Reopen Alaska Responsibly plan. So again, just like we've been talking about, there's changes that have happened with that. So we have some churches that are allowed to assemble their congregations again, which is really wonderful for our communities. You know, they
group for 50.
We rely on those churches. And so while some of our churches have chosen not to open or continue to offer virtual platforms simply because they are limited to 50 people in that service, and if they cannot maintain a 6-foot distance or a 10-foot distance, if they're singing involved, they cannot congregate. So they have to have the space, and it's limited to 50 people in phase two. We have gyms starting to reopen, which is another exciting thing. They're at 25% capacity. So I ask the Kodiak community, you know, come together, realize that our businesses are trying so hard, that these mandates are changing all the time, and that sometimes they need to catch their breath. Some people don't feel comfortable opening yet. Some people are opening with even more limitations than what the governor's mandates suggest in phase two. But again, just being flexible, it takes a lot. I mean, this is all I do all day, every day, is try and interpret these regulations and mandates and get the word out. And so it just takes a lot of work. So I ask for people to be patient. Business owners, contact the chamber or the public information office. This is what we do. This is exactly why you have us as resources.
So how many hours a day are you putting in there now?
You know, I'm always really happy if I can limit my day to a 10 or 12 hour workday right now. These COVID vacations that people are talking about, I'm ready to cash in.
Yeah, me too. So are you feeling, I mean, is it like constant from the time you get up in the morning until you go to bed, you're constantly getting requests from people?
Yeah, pretty much. And they come in so many different platforms. I get Facebook messages through the chamber. We get emails. My phone starts ringing at 8 a.m. because I, as we can see, for those of you I'm on the video conference with right now, the chamber has been working from home during all of this. Luckily, we've been able to stay fully functional. We were really well set up for this instance, but our office phones are forwarding to my personal phone. So please be patient with me.
On vacation then. You're at your house, right?
So yeah, my phone typically starts ringing about 7 a.m. and stops about 8 p.m.
So who's opening? I mean, who are you talking to now that's, you know, this is it. This is my week. I'm going to do it.
Well, you know, I was actually just on the texting before this meeting started with Lindsay from Powerhouse Gym. I know that he is working really diligently to meet some of these mandates and requirements and working. And he should be opening hopefully on Monday.
Lindsay Knight?
Yeah.
He was in here last week and he said he wasn't open until December.
Well, you know, the governor changed things.
The governor changed him. Now he has to go to work.
Now he's got to go to work. No more COVID vacation for him.
So are you hearing from people that aren't going to open yet? I mean, you talked a little bit about some of the churches, but are there some people that are just saying, nah, I'm not going to do this right now?
Well, I can tell you, Discover Kodiak, the visitor center, they are not opening to the public anytime soon. Naturally, trying to open the island to any visitors, opening their doors, that's a tougher thing. I know that they've been opening here and there to sell mugs and try and support them and try and support the Maritime Museum through some of their sales that they're doing. The chamber is going to be opening on Monday, but we're still not opening to the public, again, because we get a lot of visitor traffic from off island. And so we're just trying to minimize those things. We want to make sure our employees are comfortable. And yes, there are definitely some businesses. I don't want to name names just because I haven't necessarily gotten permission from them. But yes, there are some businesses that are still not comfortable. We do have concerns from some of our businesses that their employees just aren't feeling safe coming back to work. That's spurred a lot of questions with the PPP because some people have gotten that funding through. I'm so happy to hear both Alex and Raymond have gotten that. That's really fantastic. Our business was really suffering before, and I've heard great news about those PPPs coming through. So I will share, just because, again, before this, I was on another teleconference with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and for those employers that are struggling with employees not wanting to come back to work, they can send a written request or a written offer saying they're offering the same job with the same pay. And if the employee still refuses to come back with that and stay on unemployment, that's okay. The PPP will still be forgivable if you have that documentation. So that's a really important thing for our business owners to know. We'll try and keep getting those information points out. But the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce have been really great wealths of information, who do weekly webinars. So I encourage our business owners, when they have questions, to go ahead and hop on those. That's where I get a lot of my information from. But always, again, myself, I'm here. I'm ready to take questions from people.
What do you mean? If an employee doesn't come back, you can just assume that you paid the employee, or you substitute a new employee in and pay them the same amount?
Okay, so really what it means is some of our employees, they're staying on, but they're getting unemployment. Right. So that employee has essentially been terminated.
Yeah.
So you can replace them, but some people maybe you can't replace yet, because it's a training issue. You know, it would take 6 months to get a new employee up to speed, or the resource pool is just not available. So if you're not able to replace that employee, and you have offered in writing to that employee the same job with the same benefits, with the same pay, your PPP funding is not ineligible. It's a pretty technical thing.
Yeah, no, I understand.
If they have questions about it, they can definitely contact me, and I can walk them through the nuances. But I just want our businesses who are concerned about, I have an employee that won't come back, but I have this threshold of salaries that I have to meet. Don't be concerned. There's ways to work around that.
Okay.
I think that's awesome to know. Mike, just a little information. So with the PPP loan, we have to take a certain percent of it, 75% of it, mm-hmm. and pay it towards our employees. So for instance, we did have someone that didn't want to come back, and there's nothing you can do. You know, I can't take those funds and give it to the people that want to come back to work. I can't force that person to come back to work. And so that is really awesome to know for that instance, because if the 75% of the loans didn't go towards your employees, then you would have to pay it back. So everyone, I think, is trying to dot their I's and cross their T's. And so that's awesome that that's happened.
Well, I know there's big movement to try and change what you can use it for, too, but we're still all going under the assumption that the rules we took the loan out on are the rules we have to abide by, so that we're not at risk of having to pay that thing back if we're going to use it for salary.
Right. Some of our biggest sufferers on that point have been our tourism industry and our shipping industry. For any of those individuals listening, please note we're working really hard on your behalf. The Chamber has weekly to twice weekly video conferences with representatives from both Murkowski and Sullivan's offices, our senators, and then typically Louise Stutzer, representative, joins from her office as well. So those concerns are being heard. We have advocates from each industry really pushing those representatives to get that information. We're sending letters, just tons of information as far as advocacy on both state and federal levels are happening right here in Kodiak.
So, Raymond,
yeah, go ahead. I don't know if we're going to run out of time. I just want to make sure and thank Sarah and her team, and also Amy. I know they've been working countless hours on just trying to get everyone, like she said, all the information, and it's been huge for the business owners in town to have that and have her as an advocate. So we're super thankful.
It's a good resource. Raymond, the way you have to set up the restaurant now, do you have to like X out tables? How do you keep it so that you're, when you walk in?
We seat you anyway. So like normally we would seat you anyway in the dining room, and bar seating was pretty much go pick a table. But right now we're seating them. What we were doing, because when I was talking to you earlier about this household rule, you know, like what would happen if two couples came in and wanted to have dinner together? The household rule says you're supposed to keep them 6 feet apart. So technically, and what we were doing is sitting, you know, one couple on one side of one table, then having the other couple sit on the next table on the other side of the table. Then there was a lot of confusion from people on the 6 feet and the 10 feet, you know, like we were talking the 10 feet, I think singing and gyms and stuff like that. And people were going, how do we keep 10 feet? And I go, no, it's still 6 feet. And whereas I think I understand the rules really confuse other people. And like I told you, whether they were sitting if they were off a boat together, well, if you're on the boat together, you can sit together. But right now it's not been a problem. It's kind of like going into a room and trying to find some room to put something when the room's empty. You can be anywhere you want will work. Right now we're getting so little traffic in. And just to show you, like before this happened, before we closed, 3 weeks before we closed even, I had staff already wearing masks. Okay, and that's from the influx of stateside news and, you know, and I have some Asian-based people that are more familiar with the masks than some of the others that were. And so that actually started weeks before the closure. So it shows you they're kind of in tune to what's going on in the world. But the news media, I think, overhyped the death rate maybe, and maybe the contagiousness of the disease as well. I don't know. But the fear factor seemed to be the dominating thing. Because I told you, I don't get in my car and think about all the people who died yesterday in car accidents when I drive down the road. And I know they don't either. And like I said, those same people would share a drink or a smoke that are now don't want to even talk to you within 6 feet. I've actually seen some of that going on. And so that fear factor is what's really pushing stuff right now, because I thought it was maybe not money or not knowing what the future is and what everything else, but the fear factor has been the dominating thing. And it's gotten to the point where all the logic that follows down below, it's been kind of tough to sort through. I mean, they should have always washed their hands. Like I've been on to my employees from the day I started in this business, you know, well, not maybe just 30 years ago, you know, about touching your hair, touching your face. And it's just a natural thing to do. And we would watch the video cameras and have them watch. But they're more conscious of that, but they're still, and people will be touching their masks. And even though you're cleaning all these surfaces and stuff, it's human nature to touch things, you know, and it's really difficult. I mean, even whether you're sharing a pen, yeah, right now, I had to tell them, you know, they would want people to write to put their initials down. I said, well, now you're going to have a pen you have to clean. It's better if you just take their last four in their social or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So trying to deal with the little issues like that. Overbearing.
I do want to add in, just because that fear factor, that's real. Raymond's absolutely.
No, it is real.
And so one of the things that can help consumers maybe alleviate some of those fears are the local EOC for that have sent in a mitigation plan. Now, keep in mind, only the non-essential businesses have been asked to do this, but a lot of our essential businesses have also complied and sent this on to the safety and the POI there for the EOC, all these acronyms. However, when you have an accepted mitigation plan through the EOC right now, they're giving you a flyer with a big green check mark on it. So it's a green circle with a black check mark.
Yeah,
and we just want our consumers to be aware, if you're seeing this on businesses, that means that business has taken these mitigation steps. They are working so hard. They have gone through the process. They know about the sanitation protocol. They know about the 6-foot or 10-foot protocol. They have read this information. They have trained on this information. And so they understand it. So consumer confidence, if you're seeing that green check mark, feel a little less afraid. You know, this is something that we're trying to do to instill some consumer confidence, to know that a lot of businesses are taking these extra steps and extra precautions for you.
That's what comes out of this meeting the most, is that all the business folks are well aware of what's going on, and they want to do whatever is best for their employees and for the public, so that the public can be assured that they're going into a place that's taking that into account. So I think that's a good thing, to look for the check mark.
Exactly. And I've gotten some questions from essential businesses saying, wait, even though I don't have this mitigation plan, they have mitigation plans. Don't confuse that. Our essential businesses have mitigation plans. They've just had some different protocol to follow. So if they're submitting those mitigation plans to the EOC, and they can get that check mark back too. So I know a lot of our essential businesses have said, hey, wait, I want to make sure that I'm ensuring and letting consumers know, giving that consumer confidence. I've done what I need to do. I'm doing these mitigation plans. So they are also able to submit those mitigation plans to the EOC. And anyone with questions, it's just going to be my little mantra, call the chamber, call the chamber.
Okay. Raymond, can you project what your rebound, you know, how long is it going to take? Are you ever going to recover from this?
Some things you don't. I think that, like, I know that even weeks before the shutdown, I had been, like, with the visitor center about talking about the cruise ships, because they had already gotten cancellations, you know, back in, I think, early February. They were already starting to get those. So the impact to those, and along to the charter services that are in Kodiak, which is the secondary market from the cruise ships, but Henry's falls into all those people are potential customers for us. I really think the whole season is lost. When things like the hotel is suffering, I mean, we do a lot of business for the people that are coming there. Like I said, the airlines, when you see 5 flights a week and you could get them all on probably 2 planes. I think the total on that. Now, I know with the PPP program that they're putting out, trying to do some stuff, and it'll carry us through this time frame. But if we don't see the tourism, which is a big part of the summer here, and that falls into the same thing as the hunters, whether they be fishermen or deer or goat or bear or whatever, I think the repercussions are going to be for the next 12 months. Even though we may be open, the business, I mean, it doesn't mean no good to open if I've got no business.
Yeah.
You know?
Alex, is your traffic at your store predominantly local, or do you have visitor traffic, and do you have, like, some limited online traffic now?
I would definitely say it's mostly local. When we moved from the downtown store, we definitely saw that we weren't getting the tourism up here that we used to downtown. We also lost a lot of tour ships right around that same time, but it's definitely mostly locals. With us going online, we have been sending orders all over the states, like the states, not just all over the state of Alaska as well, but we've sent stuff to Florida and Michigan and California. It's been pretty cool. So being able to get online has definitely opened our doors to new customers, but we don't usually see the tourists as much.
Well, is there anything positive that's coming out of this? I mean, I'm hearing from you, Raymond, that maybe there's a new business model that might get implemented that would be more pickup traffic or more online ordering.
Our online ordering for to-go business is a big growth area because, like I said before, we were only doing 2% of our business. We'll see about delivery. We've been doing a lot of deliveries, but that might change when people come out of their house, but maybe not. But right now I have people available to do it. I mean, originally I tried to do it with a taxi company, but the city wanted to regulate the amount of money that was charged for the delivery. And the only way you could do it is if you did it in-house, and we're doing that now, so we'll see.
Okay. Sarah, is there anything that you're seeing that has changed the culture of the business environment here, and that anything that's positive that you see that people are doing now to try and offset what just happened?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Alex and Raymond are perfect examples. Our business owners are really thinking outside the box. And so we're seeing some really amazingly cool and creative ways to spread the word about services that are being offered. I'm hoping that we're going to start seeing a consistent trend that's measurable about shopping locally and the positive impacts of that. I have heard, you know, a lot more people, because our businesses are going online and offering Facebook videos and getting the word out in a whole new way, people didn't even realize some of the things that our businesses offered, or that there were other options or price matching guarantees that some of our businesses offer. So I think we're seeing a new trend in, instead of deferring to Amazon and online shopping that has weeks and weeks of wait time, our local businesses might have it right here, right now for you for the same price, or a cool, unique version of something that you had no idea existed. I mean, Kodiak's a really cool, unique place. And just like Alex said, people are starting to buy throughout the lower 48 all over the place because they're realizing this unique of Kodiak, and maybe that'll translate into some new tourism for us in coming years.
So if we all want to help out our own community, we stay within our own and try and help each other out.
That's exactly right. Support our small businesses. Our small businesses support our community throughout the year in so many ways, by donating gift cards and items for auctions. They sponsor sports teams and theaters. This is that chance to show them you appreciate all that they do, and you want to continue to see them not only survive, but thrive.
Yeah. Hey, I thank all of you for participating today, and I wish you the very best in reopening and moving through this. Thanks for your time. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Mike. Can I say one more thing, Mike?
Sure.
We just want people to keep an eye out. We are kind of planning a revival of the town at the end of the month. And it's going to be simple, but we're hoping for good weather and outdoor shopping and food out, all the food trucks out. So some kind of Kodiak rainbow revival or something, just to get our local shops revived back to some sort of normalcy.
Those were great events last year. I was kind of really looking forward to having those happen again.
So this will be a kind of a mini soft opening of one of those, hopefully, as we await our beloved Crab Fest in August.
Now you're making me hungry too. All right, you guys have a great weekend.
Thanks,
good luck.
Mike.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.